Good afternoon, everyone. I am Brother Thomas Curvey, and I'd like to thank the leadership and Brother Stroud for this opportunity to espouse God's truth once again. If you're visiting with us this afternoon and this is your first time, we certainly want to encourage you to not make it your last. And if you've visited with us before and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we want to encourage you each and every time that you have the opportunity to join us again. We also want you to know that you're a very important person to us. And at least a portion of my responsibility today while I'm sharing with you is make known to you how to become and why you should become a member of the Church of Christ. In furtherance of that end, I will preach the gospel, that is the good news, the story of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4, proving that he was the Son of God. And if you'd be willing to confess what your heart has been made to believe, we will baptize you in water, according to Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, and the Lord will add you to his church, Acts 2 and verse 47, the only church you can read about in this Bible, the one church, the Church of Christ. For my few minutes this afternoon, I would like to share with you from the subject, the law of love. The law of love. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, and we'll begin reading about verse number 36. The Bible reads, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two commandments hang the whole law and the prophets." I would like to take the time to define the law of love, explain its purpose, encourage each of us on how to make the best use of it. To get the best understanding of what love is, the first thing we have to do is understand what love is not. Love is not a feeling. Let me say that again. Love is not a feeling. Love contains feeling, but love in and of itself is not a feeling. Now, how do we know this? We know this the same way we know everything else. We look at the book. John 16 and verse 13 says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew thee things to come." So our truth comes from the Word of God. Matthew chapter 5, beginning about verse 43, says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may prove yourself to be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." By definition, an enemy in the Bible is someone who opposes or disobeys God or opposes God's people. The word enemy is translated from the Greek word ekthros, which means opponent. So how do we feel about our enemy in general? Is that feeling love? We definitely have some feelings about our enemy. But if we're honest with ourselves, we have to say no. See, because feelings are innate and generally happen without our control. Feelings can fool you. You know, you thought you was in love with that first boyfriend or first girlfriend. But when you look back at on it now, was that love or was that just a feeling? Let me give you some examples of how feelings can fool you. One way is by confirmation bias. You can feel like something is true, and then you start looking for evidence to support your feeling. Does that make it truth, or is that still just your feeling about it? That's a feeling. Another way feelings can fool you is by emotional reasoning. That means when you have a feeling about something, and you develop a logical explanation for that feeling, and then when you get to the bottom of that circumstance, you find out all that stuff you thought about wasn't even true. Another way feelings will fool you, hindsight bias. When you're going through a situation or you're experiencing something, and then when it's all over, you think to yourself, "Oh, man, I knew that all the time." No, you didn't. You didn't know that all the time. You kind of thought it might have been true, because if you'd have felt it, if you'd have actually known it was true, you'd have said it. But you had a feeling. And so you didn't know if it was true or not, so you didn't say nothing. But now that you're looking back on it, you figure you should. But now you're looking back on it with more knowledge than you had when you started. That's hindsight bias. Another way feelings will fool you. Overgeneralization. Feeling some way one time and believing that that's one time is always true. You know, that brother always late for church. When all you saw that brother be late was once or maybe twice. And that might have been the only two times you late all year. But that's overgeneralization, taking one instance and applying it to every instance. Another way feelings can fool you is the misattribution of arousal. What I mean by that is, an example of that is, just because you're nice or just because you're polite, somebody feels like you're flirting with them. Whether you're a man or woman, that can go either way. That's the misattribution of arousal. Another way feelings can fool you is emotional contagion. I'll give you an example of that. When I was in seventh grade, is when they had integration in the Aldine School District. It was about midway through my seventh grade year. And I remember, because it was only a handful of us African-Americans there, I know there weren't 10 of us in the whole school at Stovall Junior High. And I remember all of my friends that had come from elementary school, they were telling us how these kids are going to come over there from Drew, and it's going to be fights every day. And they were all scared, and you could see it in their faces. I got scared, not realizing that my family is African-American, not even thinking about that, not realizing that where I went to church, all of my church members were African-American. But I was just as scared as the rest of them. That's emotional contagion. Another way feelings will fool you is reacting to imagined threat. Somebody run up behind you with a horn and blow it real hard. You become frightened. But is there really a threat? There's really no threat there. You just had a feeling about it. That's how feelings can fool you. Projection is another way that feelings will fool you. Because you feel like that, the other person feels like that too. In other words, she thinks she, he thinks he. You don't know what I think unless I tell you. And I know I've been a victim of that one quite a bit. Decision making is another way feelings will fool you. Salespeople count on it. What they do, one way they do when they're selling cars is they create a sense of urgency. It's not really an urgency, but they create that sense of urgency to make you buy a car. Well, you know, sir or ma'am, that same car that you're looking at today and say you're coming to buy tomorrow, somebody looked at it yesterday and they coming back to get it today. We studied in behavioral economics. When you go into the grocery store and you see the sign that it say such and such is on sale for whatever price. Let's say lemons on sale for, you know, 20 of them for a dollar. Limit however many. When they put that limit however many on it, that creates that sense of urgency. And they have determined that there is about, you will buy 40% more just by them putting a limit on the sign. That's how feelings are fooled. Another way is by emotional suppression. When you don't believe what you feel. You feel something, but you don't trust it, and then later on you find out that feeling is true. You've suppressed your emotions, and you want to believe something is true, but you're just not sure about it. That's the way feelings can fool you. But most of us, when we speak about love, it's as if it's a feeling. But I just gave you 10 examples, and there are many more, of how feelings can be problematic. Here are a few more things that love is not. Love is not deceitful. Love won't lie to you. Love is not fleeting. It's not here today and gone tomorrow. Love is not controlling. Love don't want to take away your freedom of choice. Love is not abusive. And I want to be real clear on this one. If he hits you, he does not love you. Let me repeat that, because there's somebody in this world that needs to hear that. If he hits you, he does not love you, period. Love is not conditional. You don't have to do anything to receive it. Love is not selfish. It's not about you. Love is not indifferent, which means it's not unsympathetic. Love is not jealous. It's not envious and resentful. Love is not isolationist. It doesn't want to keep you away from everybody else. Love is not manipulative. It doesn't have an ulterior motive or hidden motive. Love is not disrespectful. It's not rude, and it's not impolite. And love is not neglectful. It doesn't disregard or ignore you. So what is love? How are we to do it correctly if we don't really understand what it is? Well, let's go back to the Bible. John chapter 3 and verse number 16 tells us, For God so loved the world that he gave. So the first thing we can understand that love is love is given. John chapter 14, verse number 15 says, if you love me, you will keep. The second thing we know love is secure. John chapter 15 and verse number 13, greater love has no man than this, than a person will lay down. Love is self-sacrificing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3 reads, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, as is only fitting, because your faith is increasing abundantly, and the love of each and every one of you towards one another grows ever greater. Love is evolving. Genesis chapter 29, verse 18 says, now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, I will serve. Love is submissive. So let's to recap that. Love is given. Love is secure or security. Love is self-sacrificing. Love is evolving. And love is submissive. Most of all, what love is action. Love is something you do. Love is visible to others. Matthew chapter 5 tells us to love your enemies and pray for them. Well, Brother Kirby, I pray for my enemies. I say that's not enough, because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says there are to be two separate acts. We are to love and pray for them. So now comes that action we were discussing. That's the part, the love part of it. See, we must be forgiven. See, that's action. We must accept. In other words, love is accepting. We must labor. Love is hard work. We must also endure. Love is persevering. The Bible tells us what love is and is not in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning with verse number 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. It's not arrogant. It's not disgracefully. It does not act disgracefully. It does not seek its own benefit. It is not provoked. It does not keep an account of a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with truth. It keeps every confidence. It believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now, there is a law which governs these actions, and that's the term I'm giving it, is a law. What do you mean by law? What is the meaning of the word law, Brother Kirby? The law is a set of principles that governs human conduct designed to ensure a specific outcome. Let me read that again. A set of principles that governs human conduct designed to ensure a specific outcome. The principles of the law of love. Love is peaceful. God loves, gives us a peace. If you read your book, you know that God gives us a peace that passes all understanding. Another principle is love is to be shared. You can't keep it to yourself. It's just not something that manifests by just having it all to yourself. You got to give it away. Another thing, principle of love, is that it's contagious. To be in a loving environment. You know that we went on to our family reunion this year. We visited a congregation called the Conyers Church of Christ. All the times that I have visited around in different congregations, I have never visited a congregation as evenly divided and diverse as that congregation. It was about equal number of African Americans as Anglo people in that church. Service was conducted, about 8-9 people took place, at least half of each one were both Anglo and African American. But what was so striking about the conversation was after the worship service, the numbers of people, the way that people came to you and just loved on you and greeted you and welcomed you and made you feel like you wanted to be there. It's like, how have I missed this place all of my life? I can imagine that being a part of a congregation that loves that way, that has to be contagious, because it wasn't just one person. It was the congregation that was that way. Another principle, love, is that love grows exponentially. It multiplies itself. Love two people, they love two people, and then they love two people. That's how love grows. Brother Kirby, you said that this thing called a law, a desired outcome. What is that desired outcome? Desired outcome Love is the salvation of the world. Perfect wisdom, perfect God. 3:16 said, God's at first loving us so much, he gave his only begotten son. Why did he do it? So that the world through him might be saved. The world can't be saved without sharing God's love. The world can't be saved without more people being exposed to God's love for us. They can catch it too. The world can't be saved without God's love growing in all of us. The world will not be saved without finding God's peace. I want to encourage you, start small. Start with you. You get you access to God's love, eternal blessing. I told you God sent his only son, mocked, maimed, murdered, cross of Calvary, sealed him in a tomb, stone one Friday afternoon. Very next Sunday morning, Jesus conquered death and the grave and rose again, proving he is the Son of God. Believe that story with all of your heart. Willing to make that confession, we want to baptize you today for the remission of your sin. This call in the desires to access that rich divine love of God and access to all the blessings that he has for you. The person know who invited you to this call. Work with them to make sure it happens today. Need to make a confession. Stand in the need of prayer. We're going to open up the line now so you can make that known. Whatever you do today, I encourage you to do it with love. Whatever you encounter today, him with love. Wherever you go today, there with the spirit of love. Let's make the world a better place today. Work on making it a better place day at a time. May God bless you.